instead of telling myself that I am good enough, say to yourself, I'm not good enough, and that's okay. And then the ultimate progression is, I'm not good enough, I'll never be good enough, and that's okay.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of It Takes Grit. I have got a very sexy guest for you today. Oh yes, Al Dasan, welcome to the show. He is incredible at TikTok, Reels, all the things. So I'm so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this as well.
Yeah,
it's going to be from Australia.
Yeah, exactly. Just going along for the ride. And, you know, everybody who's watching out there, I know that we see a lot of Reels and TikTok that's happening right now with content. And I was on my phone the other day and this guy popped up and was just crushing it all over TikTok, all over Reels. So I was like, how can I get him on the podcast to offer you guys some value? So do not worry. We're going to give you all the links of where to follow him and how to see exactly what he is doing. But today he's going to talk about his story, how he's got to where he is right now and what is working for him on Reels and TikTok. First of all, where are you in the world?
Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia. And we're also going to be talking about his morning routine, because if you think that you guys get up early, this guy's on a whole other level. We were just chatting before and I said, what time is it right now? He said 9 a.m. And I said, well, you must have woken up about 12 hours ago. What time do you normally get up in the morning?
3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m.
3 a.m. He gets up, journaling, meditation, mindset, all of the things. So we're going to touch on that as well. But first of all, I just wanted you to introduce yourself to our audience, where you live, what you do, a little bit of background about you as well. So the floor is yours.
I'm Alistair. I live in Sydney, Australia. It's nice and sunny in summer right now, so it's pretty good. I am basically a growth marketing consultant, content creator, and crypto trader. It's pretty much the three areas that are my main focus right now. I have spent a lot of time looking at like growing TikTok and how to use that to then leverage to grow other social media platforms as well. I started out working in finance, realized that didn't really love all that. Just kind of like experimented across a lot of different areas and careers and stuff. So I actually did 8 or 9 careers in 4 years, just kind of experimenting and things. And then, I've kind of ended up finding out what I want to do now and just going like as hard as I can in that. So
that's awesome. And we are going to touch on quickly, because when we chatted before, we spoke about you being in finance. So there's going to be some people out there right now who are like, I'm completely technically challenged. I don't like using that word, but technically challenged. I don't even know how to start on social media. And I've had loads of different backgrounds myself. So from you, what were all those jobs that you did in those 4 years?
I worked across like 6 or 7 different areas of finance, from capital asset management and trading, stockbroking, and those sorts of things. I worked within fintech doing sales. So there was outbound sales in that, and I guess my main philosophy with all of this was I had a vision of being able to work for myself one day, run my own business. And so I really, without at that time, not knowing exactly what I wanted to do, what business I wanted to run, I just thought it'd be best to acquire a lot of different skills, which would help me then be able to do that. So I did a degree in commerce with a major in finance and international business. And so finance was the obvious thing with that. Realized that I didn't like, I just kind of bounced from one to one, just to actually just try and find something that I really wanted to do. And then was like, okay, maybe finance isn't exactly what I want to do. So then I moved out of that and then did a UX design course. And because I know that that's super important when you're trying to build a product or do anything like that. And then I was always passionate about marketing and that sort of stuff. So then got into growth marketing, within that as well, within a fintech. And then, I've now ventured out on my own.
That's awesome. And I think that's just really encouraging for a lot of people to listen to say, You know, they didn't grow up in the social media world. They didn't like know exactly what to do. And you've had loads of different jobs and aspects that have led you to where you are before. And we're going to really dive into exactly what you do on TikTok and Reels as well on Instagram. But first of all, let's just touch on your morning routine. All right. We tell everybody 3 a.m. is when you wake up. Why do you wake up at that time? And what does your morning routine look like?
I like to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning because no one else is awake, which means no one else is trying to talk to me. No one else is trying to do anything. I know I don't have to respond to anyone or do anything like that. So it's really just me time. I wake up, I meditate for 20 minutes immediately. Then I'll journal and really set up my day. I'll write down 3 things I'm grateful for, 5 things that I really want to achieve in that day. I'll also write down 3 positive affirmation statements, which I'm trying to use to define like my new personality or who I really want to become. And then I'll write down like my long-term goals, and just doing that every morning really kind of helps reiterate that in my mind of where I really want to go. Then I've set a goal for myself this year to read 36 books, which is 3 books a month. And so I know that for the rest of my day, I won't really, if I don't do it in the morning, then I won't do it. So I'm now reading for about an hour in the morning after I do my meditation and journaling, and then I go to the gym. And for that, it's basically, that takes about 3 hours in total. I know most people probably don't do that, but I think that you should be allocating a good amount of time in every day on your personal growth and becoming the best, like a better you and that sort of thing, which will then allow you to perform better in your actual job and other areas of your life. That's basically what I do. And it allows me to be really positive and deliberate with my actions for the rest of the day, because I know exactly what I'm trying to achieve. And it's done when my mind's in a very creative state and not being reactive to what other people want me to do. So, yeah.
Well, it's so funny that you talk about the 3 hours. I was on a call with one of my mentors this morning, and we were going over the things that I do during the day, what's working well, what would I say is a 10 out of 10. And I would say I have a lot of self-love, but I don't have much self-care. And he said, I want you to put 3 hours in your day, which is so funny that you just said 3 hours of things that you want to do for you. And what does that look like? So 3 hours of not work, but it is self-growth. And things that came to my head was reading, meditation, which I do, but I'm squeezing it in like wherever, it's not my set time, and taking my dogs for a walk. And so it's like, where can you put those 3 hours in? Schedule those before you schedule the rest of your life. Because like you said, then you show up better, you're working on yourself, you're able to have more of a positive attitude. I love that. That's so funny. Literally 2 hours ago, I was on the call with my mentor and he's like, Rebecca, 3 hours. I'm like, okay. Yeah, he was telling me at night, I'm like, maybe I'm just going to do this in the morning and join you at the 3 a.m. slots. So tell me about the meditation. When did you get started in meditation? How do you do it? What's your process? What do you do?
Meditation was quite a journey. It's funny because my mom was telling me that I needed to try meditating for many years, and I always like, no, mom, like there's no way I can do that. I can't sit still for that long. So that was basically my excuse for a long time. And then I went through kind of like a bad breakup, I guess is probably the best thing that kind of almost started that. And I realized that I wasn't like super controlling of my emotions in that time period, and that may have led to more fights and other things like that. So I was like, I really probably should learn to control that sort of thing. So that's what kind of started my journey in meditation. I started using the Headspace app. I found it really effective because they would do guided meditations and just really help you learn how to do it. And then since then, I did that for about a year. And then after that, I've like really learned to just try and sit by myself, no like real external noise or stimulus or anything like that, and just try and just kind of focus on my breathing. And I think the thing that ultimately I learned, and it was only quite recently, it was only a few months ago that I really like fully understood it, was that when you meditate, it's not a practice of not thinking. It's a practice of being able to catch yourself when you are thinking and then bring yourself back to a state of calm. So you actually learn to control your thoughts and being able to like control your, and so like I kind of got that, but like until it was actually my therapist that fully explained that to me. And she was like, no, no, this is, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Cause I would always think like it would, I would almost get a little bit stressed, I guess, because I would think a lot. She's like, no, no, that's fine. You do think, it's just when you catch yourself and then bring yourself back. And so like, I'm getting more and more like better and better at pulling myself back in. One of the things I did want to quickly say is I've tested meditating in the morning versus at other times throughout the day. And I find in the morning, it's a lot easier for me to keep my control of like my thoughts and stuff and bring myself back to my breath and that sort of thing. Because I haven't had a lot of external like stimulus of like other people wanting me to do things and all that sort of stuff that like then creates this really crazy monkey mind, which then just goes crazy. So yeah.
That's so smart. That's so smart. I think too, especially if nobody else is awake at 3 a.m. in the morning and 4 a.m. when you're doing it, it's like get up and it's where you've got no distractions. That's yeah. really great advice from people, from for people, because so often we're like, we've got to meditate. We just got to like let it all go, like not think about anything. But it takes years. I mean, you said you used an app for a full year until you decided that, you know, maybe now I can do it by myself. So that's going to be super enlightening for a lot of people. Talk us about your journaling. Someone's like never journaled before and it's all in right now. Journal, journal, journal. And someone's like, but what the fuck am I supposed to journal? I don't even know what they're talking about. What do we journal? What are we supposed to write down? What do you write down?
I mean, journaling is such a broad thing. So you can approach it in many different ways. I got into journaling and I bought a journal off like Amazon or something. And basically what it was base. You have, you write down three things that you're grateful for. And I was actually on a Clubhouse call the other day. And there was someone on there that was basically like a happiness psychologist or something like that. And the thing that he said, which makes positive affirmation, gratitude, writing down like things you're grateful for more effective, is you write down something you're grateful for and then why you're grateful for it. And that actually trains yourself to actually don't just be like, oh, I'm grateful for sunny weather. All right, cool. Why are you grateful for that? Oh, because it allows me to be more positive and I can have it, blah, 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 blah. So like if you write down why, it makes it stronger. And then it helps train your brain to start seeing more things that you can be grateful for, which actually allows you to get more out of your journaling. I'll also then write down like 3 to 5 things that I want to achieve in my day, which are basically my goals for the day. And I find those to be really effective again, because when you do it that early in the morning, you're then thinking from, okay, what do I think is going to get me towards my goals? Not what does someone else want me to do to help them achieve their goals? Right. So it's like a difference in terms of, way you're doing that. And then I write down, like 3 positive affirmations, which are I am statements. So like at the moment, I'm changing and I am the learner is the big one right now, because in the past, there was a lot of times I would get into, let's just say, discussions with people about things. And I would definitely think I was right. And I would argue that point till like the absolute end. And then I would go online later and look it up and I was wrong and they were right. And I'm like, how much am I limiting my own growth by thinking I'm right all the time? So then I'm like, no, I'm now going to adopt the mindset of the learner, where I'll actually listen to other people and take on what they say and then be able to go away. And instead of just rejecting what someone says, now learn from them. And ultimately, whatever I know right now has only got me to where I am. So therefore I have to learn more to get to where I want to be. And then beyond that, within journaling, you can also just write down any thoughts and other things that you have, which ultimately just getting all that down onto the paper helps you process things a lot better and can actually take a lot of stress out of bad situations and stuff, because it's out of your mind and somewhere else. So, yeah.
Wow. Beautifully said. Mic drop moment. That was beautiful. And I think that's the thing, is we get so worked up about what it should be that we don't do it. We think that we're not ready to do it. We haven't got it perfectly aligned. Even if you just start off with 3 things that I'm grateful for, and why am I grateful for that? And it's important what you said there, like, why are you grateful? And then you can go one step forward, but why? And then you keep asking, okay, but why is it important for you to have sunny weather? Okay, because it makes me feel alive. Well, why is it important for you to feel alive? Well, because it makes me feel more connected. And if you keep asking yourself the reason why, you get to like something that's really rooted down inside of you. And that's what's going to be emotionally connected to help you with whatever goals that you have. And then also setting intentions for the goals. What are your, so your goals during the day, what name are some of the goals? Are they small wins, big wins? Like, you know, how do you track them? How do you, what kind of goals are you setting for your day?
So for today, it could be a lots of different things. So I've said, so within my trading, I've said that I wanted to make three, specific, sorts of breakout trades. So that's something that I'm really going to be focused on because it's something that I need to really work on within my trading. So that's one. I want to, record, 3 to 5 TikToks today. And again, that's just, again, work focused. I have smashed this podcast, so I want to make sure that I come on and do a really good job here. And then I need to go and buy 2 pairs of AirPods, one for my brother because he loses them all the time, and one for myself because my AirPods at the moment are playing up. So yeah, it's like it can be anything really, but mostly it is pretty work focused. But or at the moment as well, I'm trying to get better at speed reading. So I'll put like a goal before I actually speed read of what my target will be. And then I can almost basically start my day off immediately with a win. So yeah.
That's fab. And I think that's the thing. It's just showing an example of what you do. You know, anyone can fit that into their life. It could be like one of your, you know, wins for the day is that you need to cook a healthy meal or you need to meal prep. Like that could be a goal for the day. Right. It is. It's, you know, reaching out to 3 new clients because that's your goal for the day. And then setting them every morning. And then you're like, you have direction and you feel like you're moving. You know, all we want to do is help people with where they're at and where do you want to go, bridging that gap. And it's done by those daily goals. You know, you don't get somewhere overnight, but you do get somewhere by doing things daily. We call it a daily method of operation. We call it a DMO. What are you doing on a daily basis that's going to help you get to where you want to be? So I love that. Perfect example. Yeah. All right. So as we kind of mentioned a little bit there about TikTok and Reels, tell us, how did you get started on TikTok Reels and what kind of content are you making?
How did I get started? I basically have a mentor within like for my marketing and stuff. And he knew that I always want was like, I was going really hard on Instagram, trying to like grow that for a long time. And he actually just came to me one day and he's like, oh, we're looking at growth hacking TikTok and that sort of stuff. I have a guy that I want you to talk to because I'm a Ken and he's ended up becoming basically one of my mentors within that. His name is Michael Sanchez. I do want to like give him a quick shout out. He has got a group on a TikTok group on Facebook as well, which people can go and join. There's lots of cool tips and stuff in there as well. But he's helped me a lot, but that's basically what I guess got me into it. It was fairly new in Australia. Not that many people had it. And I just saw it as a great opportunity to grow my personal brand. And so got on there. And then when Reels came out, I basically just kind of started posting my successful TikToks onto Reels. And that's working really well for me at the moment. And the content that I create currently, it's around sort of, personal growth and relationships and stuff. I've worked out that a lot of people, I ultimately want to help people become more confident in their lives and achieve what they want to achieve. And I feel like the best way to get in contact with people is through relationships and stuff. So that's the content that I put out at the moment. And that does really well. So get a lot of DMs and stuff from people being like, yo, I left this really toxic relationship because of your content, or I've just gone through a really bad breakup and you're helping me see that actually that was a really good decision, or helping me get through all that. And I now know that I should just focus on myself rather than jumping into another one. So it's super rewarding in that area.
That's amazing. What's your most popular video? Which one's most popular, or which one are you most proud of?
My biggest one did 7 million views, but that wasn't exactly, it was about cleaning white shoes. So it wasn't exactly relevant. That one exploded. But I guess I wouldn't say there's any necessarily one video that I'm most proud of. It's just like the because no one really, I guess, ever only hears one message and that's the only message they need to hear. So it's just, I guess it's like the consistency of continually putting out messages that are aligned to what I believe in and that sort of thing. But yeah, just around, I guess the best ones are just kind of around the fact that you deserve to be treated in the way you want to be treated and to not like accept anything less than that. And if like, I guess if someone's like how someone's actions, how someone treats you is how they really like, has that actually how they feel about you. So it doesn't matter what someone says, it's about how they act and their actions are always going to speak louder than words. And so like, those are the kind of messages that I think resonate the most and give people, I guess, the most like the biggest wake up and realization that, hey, actually I'm not getting treated right. And I should actually be commanding more for myself because I am worth more. And so, yeah, like that's what I'm finding a lot of, just people just seem to believe that that how they get treated is what they deserve. And I think ultimately you attract what you think you deserve. And so to try and reframe that with people and realize you actually don't deserve these things. And if you actually do put in a lot of work on yourself and grow yourself, then you realize what you actually do deserve is to be treated how you want to and that sort of thing. But I guess that comes from the confidence of working on yourself. So
it's a combination of both. And you do a really great job of conveying a message that's personal development and relationships. And I think that often we feel like we're not good enough. Like most people in the world, they struggle with two things. They just want to be loved and they do not feel like they're good enough. Like most people just do not feel they're good enough. So when we put ourselves into a situation when we're in a relationship, when we're like, well, is this all there is? Like, is this all I get? But you know deep down that something might not be right, but you're like, maybe this is just all I deserve. And so breaking away from that, working on yourself so that when you go step into a new relationship, you know your yeses and your nos, you know your red flags, you know, like this is what I'm going to accept and what I'm not going to accept. And yeah. I'm sure that you, me, and many people watching this would have been in a relationship years ago that they would never have stepped into today because they're just a different person. I look back at some of my relationships and I'm like, okay, the first week there was a red flag, Rebecca, and you didn't act on it. Like you didn't make the decision. You were like, oh, you kind of made excuses for the person. You're like, oh, it's okay. It's early, whatever. I'll figure it out. Whereas now I'm like, yep, that's a hell no. And I think over time, as you work on yourself, then you start to have the confidence to say, this is a non-negotiable for me. And this is what I'm looking for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I look back, but I'm like, and I'm incredibly grateful for all the bad relationships and everything else, because it's been great learning opportunities. And I'm like, okay, so this is all the things. And the last one, I was just collecting red flags left, right, and center. She was like, she was handing them up, and I'm like, yeah, I'll take that one too. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. Just all collect them. It's actually super interesting because I have a video. I believe in like recording myself when I'm at my highest and when I'm at my lowest. And I have a video of myself. In August, I think it was last year, of just absolutely, I just broke down one day because I didn't feel like I was good enough. And I'm like, everything that I've held on to for so long about being whether I'm good enough or anything else is all just kind of like, I guess, came up. And it's pretty crazy because my boss actually gave me, or my old boss, sorry, he's basically one of the people that helped me on my next step of my growth journey, which started in like September last year, going to a therapist, that sort of thing. And again, like I'm very, very, very bullish on people going to therapy and that sort of thing, as long as you find someone who's actually good and will help you treat your past trauma rather than just giving you surface level stuff. But with the good enough quote, the not feeling good enough, one of the things that he challenged me to do is instead of telling myself that I am good enough, say to yourself, I'm not good enough and that's okay. And it's the craziest, it seems super counterintuitive. And when he said that, for me to say that the first time, I couldn't do it. And there was no way you were going to get me able to do it. And then the ultimate progression is I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. And that's okay. Because it is okay. Because no one ever actually does feel good enough. And what you ultimately do is the more you resist the thought, the stronger the thought gets. So if you're consistently pushing back against the thought of I'm not good enough and saying I am, every time you say I am good enough, you instantly inside your head say, no, you're not. But if you say, I'm not good enough, you disarm that thought, you take power away from it because you're not resisting it anymore. And then you say, and that's okay. Because it actually absolutely is okay to not feel good enough at times, because literally everybody does. And so now I never feel like I'm not good enough because I've been working on it so much. And anytime I'm like, I'm not good enough, I'm like, I'm not good enough. And that's okay. And then now it doesn't actually impact me anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's just something that's like this crazy shift in terms of how you think about it. I ran this past my therapist as well. And she said, that's absolutely right. That I'm not good enough. And that's okay. It's a far better way of approaching it. With like negative sorts of things, it's negative thoughts and that sort of stuff. The fact that when you change it to being, and that's okay, it just seems to work because
I like that approach. And even if you could say, you know, if you're trying to start a new TikTok or Reels, like, I'm not good enough and that's okay, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Absolutely.
It's like, who cares? Absolutely. I'm going to do it anyway. It's like, hey, you know, I don't feel like I'm good enough to go and get a new relationship. Okay. But I'm going to do it anyway.
Absolutely.
I think that's because we all do. Like, I think I appreciate you for being so vulnerable and open and honest, and people are going to look at you and be like, you know, he's got his shit together. Everything looks fine. Like, what has he got to worry about? But it's often sometimes, you know, Tony Robbins talks about some of the biggest celebrities that he's worked with. And the thing that they feel like the worst about is that they're not good enough. And that's why Robin Williams, you know, unfortunately killed himself, because he just didn't feel like he was good enough. And so I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you so much. Everyone's going to be like, okay, I need to get onto his TikTok and his Reels like right now. For somebody who is looking to not just get relationship advice from you, personal development, but to build, how often are you posting on TikTok and how often are you posting on Reels?
So on TikTok, it can be anywhere from once to three times a day, usually is around what I'm doing on TikTok. You can definitely put out a lot more content, and the algorithm doesn't seem to punish you for putting out more and more and more content. My suggestion with that is the most important thing is looking at your analytics and just looking at, and you can turn that on within settings. Just go to create a pro account. And if you do that, then you can actually see, because the two things that matter most that I've found within at least the success of TikToks is the average watch time and how that compares to the actual length of your video. So for something to go viral, you want to have at least, so if it was like a 15 second video, you'd want to have people, the average watch time to be at least 13 seconds, because that often means that people are rewatching it more than once. And so that's really valuable for TikTok's algorithm, because the thing to remember when you're a creator on TikTok, you're only priority, your whole goal and your job is to keep people on the platform. So if you're not keeping people on the platform, you're not helping people stay in and on TikTok, and they just swipe to another video, then TikTok's going to say, this person's a risk, because when we show their content to someone else, to people, they don't stay on it for very long. And so they move on, and therefore it's, so that would be one thing. And the other thing is really trying to get shares. Shares massive for trying to get growth. And so if you can create videos that, and I found the biggest thing for that is creating videos that have a deep emotional reaction. And it could be anything from excitement to awe, to sadness, to anger, to any of those things. Those are the videos. If you go and watch the biggest videos, they usually will create some form of emotional reaction, which causes you to want to share it. And that's basically what ultimately does that. But, and don't post just a lot of random stuff. Work out what your niche is, work out what you actually want to create content around, and then just make a lot of really good content. Also, if you're posting a video and it doesn't perform very well the first time around and you think it should, don't be afraid to repost it. Because what you're ultimately trying to do is get on the For You page. And so I wouldn't worry about your followers if they've watched it once or a few times or whatever. Like, you're ultimately trying to reach a new audience every time. So those are things there. And then with Reels, my strategy is basically at the moment just the top. I only post once a day. Instagram's recommendation is about once a day. I don't really know anyone who's doing more than that, because the mentality on the platform of Instagram is very different. Like, if people see more than one of your video or more than one post of yours in a day, they seem to like be like, whoa, that's too much. It's kind of strange. Whereas TikTok, it's not. So I'd be looking at doing maybe a reel a day. And it's basically putting your best content across from TikTok. What I would focus on, if you are going to do that, when you're exporting your video from TikTok, make sure it doesn't have the watermarks on it, because the video that you post on Reels which has watermarks will just get punished by the algorithm. So if you're on an iPhone, just save it as the share button, save it as a live photo, and then convert it to a video on your phone, and that will basically export it without any watermarks. So that's what I'm doing. You can use a fair few hashtags on Instagram. That seems to help a lot within Reels to get more reach. And just be consistent and test a lot. That's ultimately what it came down to. There's so many videos on my TikTok that have gone well and that haven't gone well. And it's like, and you just learn from the things that don't go well. You just learn and go, okay, well, maybe this isn't the right topic, or maybe I can do like give my message in a shorter time frame. Because one thing to know is that the average watch time of all TikTok videos is less than 2 seconds. So you have less than 2 seconds to grab someone's attention and keep them there long enough to actually go and watch the whole video. So really make sure that first sort of second is really powerful. And
First second, that's the grab. Like, and you're using text on top of it to grab as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I put my main sort of core thing that I'm going to be covering in that video at the start in a heading. And then if you are talking, definitely give closed captions on it for sure. I've found like my videos do a lot better when they're closed captioned. Again, just accounting for like different people's ways of consuming content.
And with the closed captions, everyone, if you guys know, it's basically adding subtitles to it. Are you just using an app to add them on? Or are you just basically texting over the top when you post it up to TikTok?
Typing it over the top when I do it on TikTok, because I want to keep it as like organic, seem as organic as possible. Particularly with like the type of content that I create, it's all just recorded on the app, and so it feels really authentic and that sort of thing. Obviously, if you're doing production where it's like if you're doing photography or something like that, and it's all being filmed off platform, then you can do it all off platform because people are expecting a different sort of level of content and that sort of thing. But also when you write your own text on TikTok, TikTok's algorithm can actually read the text, which means it'll actually get a better understanding of what your video is about, which means it'll find out more accurately who to show that video to. And the algorithm is so intelligent. So that's why I do that. But I would also just want to say, make sure that you are very deliberate about where you're placing the text, because you have to account for the fact that different phone sizes, the video is actually a different size. So they actually cut off the edges of your video depending on what phone size it is. So take that into consideration and make sure your text isn't going under the like the caption at the bottom or getting cut off by like the profile picture and comment like sort of areas on the side.
So kind of keeping the captions in the middle, like closer
in the middle,
to the
middle. Yeah. When you do that as well, that really helps. So where I place mine is kind of, it's dead center in terms of center alignment, and it's about 2/3 of the way down, because when I then take that and then place it onto Instagram, when I post it to my timeline as part of a reel, when you post reels as well, make sure you always push it to your timeline as well. Then when it shows up in the 5x4 grid, it'll always be on that as well. So someone doesn't necessarily have to click through to the reel. So again, you're just giving them a better and easier user experience, which will only help convert more views and that sort of thing. So,
and how many hashtags are you using on reels? You said like quite a few, but what's your average number?
I use probably about 8 to 10. You can go all the way up to 30. One of my friends who's a photographer, Alex Stemp, he's got like 1 million followers on TikTok. He's done a lot of testing within this as well. He uses all 30 hashtags that he can on Instagram, because each one is just an increased chance of getting more views and therefore more virality. So he does that, but he just makes sure they're very specific. And I think there's probably just maybe more hashtags super relevant to photography than there are to what I'm doing maybe. And it doesn't, apparently doesn't really matter whether you put it in the caption or in the first comment in the actual comments on it. It shouldn't really impact it too much. So it's up to your personal preference within that area.
Perfect. I was just going to ask you that question. And then, so with content, it's best to think of one thing that you want to do and just crush that. It's like breaking through that one thing, because a lot of yours is personal development and relationship. You're talking to the camera. There's captions. There's not videos of you surfing or doing your morning routine or any of that. You're very specific on that one thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, the most important thing, I guess, is finding your niche. So once you define your niche, it's fine to experiment within all different types of content that work, like within that niche. So as long as you're talking to that, like I know doctors who do dances and then just put text over the top of that, and that works out really well for them. So I just test a lot. So like with my growth marketing background, everything is just test until you find something that works. And then once you find something that works, double down on that and just push it as hard as you can until it stops working. So my content right now, me sitting in the car, like talking to a camera, that's what's working. And so that's what I'll just continue to do until it stops working. And then I'll have to like go again and test more things and then work out what the best next strategy is. But yeah, like me surfing, I mean, would be tragic because I don't know how to surf. So
Australian.
But I know. I've let down the Aussies. I know I have. But if you did that, like there are people who are doing, like if you want to do quotes and things, there are people who are very successful who just like do normal activities that they really like, and then they just write quotes over the top of that, and that works out really well for them. So again, like I did some of that content, it did okay, but by reading my comments, and this is something that's super powerful, by reading my comments, I worked out the things that people liked the most were my accent and my voice and my green eyes and smile. Like those are the things. And so I'm like, how can I do it so those three things are established immediately at like whenever I post a video? And so like, I position myself so the lighting's really good, mostly so that my eyes like are bright and that sort of stuff. And I know it seems like, oh, you're just like selling your appearance or whatever, but it's like anything that you can do to play to your advantage to get more view, like to get that traction and things, is what I'll play into. I guess there's a point to that as well. Like, I mean, if you just go and do like a whole bunch of body shots and that sort of stuff and those sorts of things, I don't know if that's the most effective way of doing it. I wouldn't personally want to do that. I think that could, depending on what kind of brand you want to build, I don't think it would help with the authority that I'm trying to build in this space by doing that. It's up to you to make the decisions about what you want to do. Again, no judgment from me. Like whatever works, and double down on whatever's working. But don't be afraid to test things. And if a video doesn't do well, don't freak out. It's okay. It's a long game, and who cares what anyone thinks about what's going on your profile in terms of views and other stuff. It's just, you're just learning.
Absolutely, and it's really funny because I was having a conversation with my friend the other day, and she's like, you know, my views have gone down on my Instagram stories, and like it was up here and it's down here. It's like it fluctuates all over the place. Like mine can go from like 15,000 down to like 2 sometimes. It's like you just don't know. But also, don't focus on the views, focus on the content that you're making and the people that you're serving. If you have 10 people that watch your video, amazing. Like love on those 10 people rather than going, well, I wish it was 100, instead of just saying, look, amazing. If you had a room and 10 people were in the room, it's a lot of people in the room. If you had 50 people, it's a lot of people. So I think sometimes we get distracted with like the views rather than going like, what's the content? How can I just make this better? And serving the people that I do have rather than like, I just want more and more and more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And ultimately, if you put out great content, you will get more views. Like that's just how it goes. Like your name will spread. People will share you around more. You will eventually get the traction you're looking for. But don't just post content because it does well if it's not aligned to who you are or what your ultimate message is trying to do.
And then lastly, I think consistency is key, right? I mean, how long have you been doing this for?
TikTok, a bit over about, what would it be? 14 months, a bit over a year, maybe. I've been doing that, but like posting every day very consistently. And then Instagram, it's been a long slog, like many years. So I actually had an account that I grew to like 90,000 followers, I think, and then got involved in corporate finance and didn't have time to do it. And so didn't have the consistency in my posting, and Instagram ended up killing my account. So it died. And so like I actually had to start again. And one thing, I guess, to talk to the power of Instagram Reels right now, it took me about 2.5 to 3 years to grow from 0 to 36,000 followers on Instagram. And in 1 month, I grew from 36 to like 69,000. So I doubled my following in literally a month from using Instagram Reels. So there's a lot of power in Instagram Reels right now. So definitely double down on that. But I do majority, again, I do a majority of my testing on TikTok, because my audience is slightly bigger there. And I just feel like, I'm just happy to test more because I can put out more content and not get punished for it. And then just bring the best across to Instagram.
Amazing. Perfect. Well, you've delivered so much value. Thank you so much. My last question is for you, because I know that everyone's going to want to know this. What are the 3 books that you're reading this month?
So I have Tony Robbins' Money Master the Game. So that's the first one. I'm going to reread How to Win Friends and Influence People, because I've listened to the audio book of that one, but now I'm really into reading. And the other one is going to be Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So again, they're all pretty like finance or personal development focused. Another one that I've been told that I need to read, which I've also just bought, is The Alchemist. So I'm going to read that as well. I think we're going to try and get 4 books in this month, I think.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I was just on a call the other day with a mastermind I'm in, and they were like, the 2 books that you just need to keep rereading is Think and Grow Rich and How to Win Friends and Influence People. So yeah, so much alignment.
Think and Grow Rich, massive. I did that last month. So yeah, again, incredible book. And it's actually, I don't know if you've read it, but I keep my desire statement written on my phone wallpaper so that I can just read it anytime. So that's basically my yearly goal. I just keep it on my phone lock screen. And how many times do you look at your lock screen every day? So it's always there. And I've just found that like by having it there, and it kind of like subliminally gets put into your brain when you look at it 1,000 times a day. So yeah.
So smart. So where can everybody find you on all of the social media platforms?
My handle is @its.alasdair. Alasdair spelled A-L-A-S-D-A-I-R. You can find me in all those. And also come, if you can get onto Clubhouse, come hang out. I do rooms in there as well. And we can talk about TikTok and everything else there. So yeah.
Perfect. I just got on Clubhouse a couple of weeks ago. I did a stage with somebody else and some other people. So let's hook up and we can do a TikTok stage together. That would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Cool. Well, we'll put all of his details in the link below so that you guys know where to find him. Make sure you go follow him. Go give him lots of love. Tell him thank you for this podcast. And thank you so much for watching, everybody. We appreciate you. Go off, have fun creating content, creating reels, TikTok, all the things. And we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.